Now, the latest OECD economic report on New Zealand recommends more social housing for low-income households. The report also identifies, as we've just been talking about, housing affordability in Auckland is poor, warns housing poses some risks to the financial sector. It blames restrictive land use and planning regulations, essentially the RMA, as a key factor for lagging supply and high house prices. New Zealand Initiative Executive Director Oliver Hartwich is with me. Oliver, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening.
So the OECD report really echoes, doesn't it? A whole bunch is what the New Zealand Initiative have been saying. It's what the OECD says. A whole bunch of expert groups have been saying. It's the RMA.
Yes, indeed, and there is certainly no shortage of reports documenting the problems with our planning system, documenting the problems with a lack of supply of housing, and if we get more of these reports, then we'll soon be able to use them as building materials for new homes.
Is it your view that the RMA needs to be gutted and gutted soon?
Well, I think it is definitely one of these issues that we need to fix, because we know that the RMA just makes it very difficult to actually get any new development projects over the line. But it's not the only problem we need to fix. I think when we're talking about housing supply, we also have to really talk about how do we finance extra infrastructure that's needed to accommodate extra housing supply. So often we leave councils alone with the cost of development, but all the benefits of development then go up to central government in the forms of extra taxation. So I think we have to fix that too. There are a number of issues that really need to be tackled simultaneously in order to get housing supply up where it should be.
All right, we'll come back to the how we can raise some money to do these things in just a moment, but the minister has just told me that he hasn't actually got political consensus on this RMA, the changes, yet. He can't get the changes through. What do you say?
Well, I think the minister is probably right, because we know that the political situation changed after the Northland by-election. That means the government doesn't have a proper majority for far-reaching changes to the IMA, as desirable as they would be. There's simply no parliamentary majority for Dr. Smith available. So I think he's quite realistic in that prospect, but it doesn't make it any better, of course.
What do you think needs changed within the RMA? I know you have focused previously on small group stymieing developments.
Yes, indeed. And I think what is really needed is actually speeding up the process. We have to really talk about municipal urban limits. That means we have to talk about limits to the growth of our cities. There is certainly a big differential between housing costs and land prices really within the urban limits and outside the urban limits. And the OECD actually in the report mentions that and cites a bunch of reports really documenting the big price differentials between land inside and outside the urban limits. I think that is what we have to fix, and that's where I would start with IMA reform.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem the council in Auckland anyway want to expand outside the limits.
And that is exactly the problem that we face when it comes to financing infrastructure, because the reason why councils are so hesitant in actually pushing forward new development is because it is really hard to finance extra development, especially greenfield development. I've had discussions with Auckland Council as well as Wellington Council and asked the planners there whether they think it is actually possible for any council in the country to develop greenfield land for residential housing without actually the council incurring a net loss. And both councils actually told me that it's impossible, because the extra infrastructure that council has to provide certainly outweighs any potential upsides in the forms of extra rates revenue.
Right, so let's flip to the OECD. The other suggestion is congestion charges, in other words, tolls, those sorts of things. They are suggesting this. So that would, what, pay for some of that infrastructure?
That might be a way to finance extra infrastructure, and congestion charging is a good idea anyway, because when it comes to new roads and transport infrastructure, and you're finding out that these new roads are getting congested, you have two ways of dealing with the problem. The first way is to deal with it by congestion, so basically by queuing. The other way is just to price the assets accordingly. So I think a market-based solution with prices attached to infrastructure is definitely preferable to being stuck in traffic jams.
Do you really think it works, though, this congestion charge, or is it just a revenue collector?
No, I think it certainly does work, and because you can just have a look around the world and you can find similar schemes being implemented. Look at the London congestion zone.
That's why I ask that. I mean, I look at London. I've been to London, I don't know, every other year for the last 10 years, whatever. I haven't noticed any difference in the number of vehicles in that congestion area.
I think you can definitely see a number of vehicles changing in the area, but I think of all the schemes with congestion charging imposed, the London congestion charge is probably not the most elegant one.
Yeah.
Because it just charges you a one-off fee no matter how many kilometers you actually drive within the zone and how many times you enter and exit the zone. So it's a very blunt instrument, so I'm not quite sure whether that really works. You've got other congestion charging elements. For example, look at the Sydney Harbour Bridge, which has certain times of day at a different rate. So I think you can definitely have better and more sophisticated systems than either the London congestion charge or the Sydney Harbour Bridge tolling. But there are ways in which you can actually design tolling schemes to actually divert your traffic around the peak times.
Thank you. That is Dr. Oliver Hartwich, Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. News Talk ZB, it's 5:19.